Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. When everybody's there, say amen. Let's read. I'm reading out the New King James Version. It goes like this. It says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind." Someone say its kind. "Cattle and creeping thing and the beast of the earth, each according to its kind." Everybody say its kind. I want you to notice that. It said its kind. "And it was so," verse 25. "And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind." I want you to notice that. Remember, I always teach you guys that when the Bible repeats itself, underline the repetition. Circle the repetition, because when God repeats himself, what is he doing? He's trying to get a point across. Because how many know you don't get it the first time? And some of y'all don't get it the third time. Thank God for repeating. Anybody want to thank God for repeating himself? Anybody? See, some of y'all, at least one of y'all got to be thankful that God told you in 1985, but he did again. He told you in 1986, too. He just didn't tell you one time. Can I get an amen? Back to the scripture. "After its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and God saw that it was good." Someone say it's all good. Verse 26. "Then," someone say then. Whenever you see the word then, it signifies a transition. Someone say transition. "Then" signifies a transition, meaning there's going to be a change. There's going to be a shift. That means he started off one way, but now he's about to shift. And when it says then, it indicates a change, a transition. And verse 26 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." I want you to notice the transition. I want you to notice the break in pattern. When he created the animals, he created them after their own likeness. Put that on the shelf of your mind, because I'm going to come back to that. When he goes to create mankind, there's a shift, there's a transition, there's a break in pattern, and he doesn't create them after their own likeness, but he goes to create them after his likeness. Are you following along? Let me read it again. Verse 26. "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have," and according to our likeness, "let them have dominion." Someone say dominion. "Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Verse 27. "So God created man in his own image." There goes a repetition again. "In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." Verse 28, "Then God," look at the transition, "then," someone say then. "Then God blessed them." How many need a blessing this morning? I need a blessing this morning. "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion," there's that word again, "dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Let's pray together. Father God, we look towards your word this morning, and we ask for understanding. Lord, give us wisdom. Teach us this morning out of your written and living word, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. My brothers and sisters, today I want to teach you from the subject of kingdom man. Everybody say kingdom man. Now, although a lot of what I'm going to say this morning pertains to everybody in here, both male and female, young and old, I'm going to be addressing the men on a lot of occasions. I want to say that again. Although most of what I'm going to teach this morning pertains to everybody, I'm going to be addressing the men particularly, because it is Father's Day, and I can do that for today. And so I want to address some men in the house, and what I'm coming to do this morning is call a family meeting. A family meeting. How many know that the church is the family of God? right? And so I want you to envision that this sanctuary is a living room. And I want you to envision that we are about to engage in a family meeting. And how many of you know that in family meetings, sometimes you need to say things that are uncomfortable? Have you ever been to a family meeting? You know sometimes it gets heated. It gets hot. Sometimes in a family meeting, you got to set some fire underneath some people, because some people just don't move unless they have some fire. And so I want us to have a sort of a family meeting this morning. And I want us to think about how God created us. I want us to think about how God created us. I want us to go back to the original pattern and creation of God and to learn how some things are supposed to be. Because if you don't know how it's supposed to be, you'll settle for whatever is given to you. And if there's one thing that I don't want you to do is settle for just anything in your life. If you don't know how it's supposed to be, you'll just settle for anything. If you don't know what you're supposed to have, you'll take anything. If you don't know what you lost, you'll never try to get it back. Many people walking, many men are walking this world and don't even know they lost some things. And they think it's okay, but it's not okay because they don't know that they have lost some things. And so my goal today is to help us to understand how God created us so that hopefully we will see the godly kingdom standard that we're supposed to live up to as men, as fathers, as kingdom men. Can I get an amen? So I want us to go back. I want us to look. And one of the things I want us to understand is that God created us men with purpose. Someone say purpose. God created everyone with purpose. And one of my favorite definitions of purpose is divine design. Divine design. Everybody was created with a divine design. That means God created you with a godly purpose and a godly direction for your life. And it's only when you begin to discover your divine design and walk in your divine design do you truly come alive in this world. You don't come alive until you discover and walk in your divine design. There's too many dead men walking in this world. Too many dead men at home. Too many dead men at work. Too many dead men going to school. They're walking around in circles. They're sucking up oxygen. They're growing old, but they're not growing spiritually mature because they have not discovered their divine design, nor are they walking in what God has called them to walk in. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? When I first started to learn that I had a divine design, and I was 19 years old, and the California Youth Authority sentenced to life in prison, and I had no hope, and I had no future, and somebody began to open up the Bible to me and begin to let me know, Brian, God has given you a divine design. He's given you a purpose, and I begin to learn about this, and I begin to inch my way towards God's divine design for me, and I begin to walk in God's divine design for me, and it's just been an awesome journey, in so much that his divine design has brought me all the way here before you today. Put me right in front of you because I've been walking in this divine design for my life. It wasn't education that brought me here. It wasn't, you know, my strength that brought me here. It wasn't my, you know, ability to do this or that that brought me here. It was because I began to learn, discover, and walk in my divine design that opened up some doors that no man could open up in my life. And so the key to be a kingdom man is to discover and to walk in your divine design. That's key, your divine design. And I want to take us back to how God created us so that we could see the standard in which God has put upon our life. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? The first thing that I want us to understand is that God created us to be image bearers. To be image bearers. Image bearers. Write that down in your notes. Image bearers. Now listen. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make man in our image, someone say image, according to our likeness. Now, scholars use the Latin term Imago Dei. Imago Dei, to describe what it means to be in the image of God. So in Latin, Imago Dei means image of God, and this is the term that scholars use to describe what it means to be created in the image of God. The Imago Dei is the image of God inside of us. Everybody say Imago Dei. I want to introduce you to that Latin term, and we were created to display the Imago Dei. We were created to display the image of God. When the world looks at a kingdom man, he is to see, they are to see God displayed in his actions as a husband, as a father, as a worker, as a provider, as a caregiver. They are to look at our life and see the display of God, the Imago Dei. Are you following along? This is the image of God. In ancient days, the ancient kings, they would create statues of their image. And because the kings could not be everywhere at one time, they would place the statue in the far-off land that they had conquered so that the people in that city would know what the king looked like. Similarly, God has created us and placed us in this world so that the world could know what he looks like. So that the world could know what he looks like. One of the main reasons why God instructs us vehemently not to create an image of him is because he already did. He already did. You know who it is? It is you and I. So he said, don't create an image of me. I already put my print in this world. I already created my image in this world, and it is you, man of God, woman of God, created us with this Imago Dei. And it is referenced several times in the scriptures. For example, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, it says, this is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. That's the Imago Dei, the image of God. Genesis 9:6, it says, whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God, that's the Imago Dei, has God made mankind. Now, the Imago Dei, the image of God, this doctrine in the Bible is so profound, it is so deep that scholars will admit that we, even to this day, do not totally understand what it means. It is such a deep doctrine in the scripture that we still do not totally grasp all that the Imago Dei, or the image of God, entails. And so this morning, I want to just get your feet wet and give you a basic understanding of what is included in the Imago Dei. What is included in the, what does it mean to be created in the image and likeness of God? We could do a whole series on it, but today, I just want to get your feet wet. Are you following along? The first thing I want us to understand is that the Imago Dei empowers us with divine uniqueness. Divine, write that down, uniqueness. The Imago Dei, it empowers us with divine uniqueness. Listen, if there's one thing I want you to get this morning, is that you were created to be unique. There's one thing I want you to get this morning, is you were created to be special. When God created you, he created you to be special. He created you to be unique. You, no other creation was created with the image of God. You are the one that has the stamp of God on you. No other creation. No other creation was created with the creation of God. You're the only one that has God stamped on you. Touch your neighbor and say, God stamped me. Yeah, God stamped me. Now, specifically in Genesis chapter 1, we are distinct from the animals. Follow along. When you go back to Genesis chapter 1, when God created the animals, it says that he created them after their own kind. After their own kind. The Bible uses this phrase, their own kind, about 10 times when it describes the creation of animals. But when God created man, there was a break in his pattern, and he no longer created them after their own kind, but it says he created us in his image. Are you following along? When God creates the animals, it says he created them after their own kind. 10 times it uses that language. I created them at their own kind. I created at their own kind. But when he goes to create you and I, there is a break in his pattern. And it says, then let's create them in my image and after my own likeness. Why is that? Because we're divinely unique. You are not just a smart animal. Are you following along? You're not just a human animal either. You're not just a smart, you're not just smarter than animals. You are cut from a different cloth. God cut you from a different cloth. You are divinely unique and you're called to be special. Now, what is the takeaway? Like, what is the takeaway from that understanding? Well, here's the simplest takeaway from that understanding. Stop acting like an animal. That's the simplest takeaway from that, right? Stop acting like an animal. You can't just do whatever you want to do. Kingdom men cannot just live any way they want to live. Kingdom men can't just mate with anybody they want to mate with. Kingdom men just can't live an unruly lifestyle. Stop acting like an animal. I told you we're going to talk like family this morning. Kingdom men, you are not animals. Not animals. Can't just live any way you want to live. Can't just talk any way you want to talk. There is a standard for us. There's a standard for us to live up to. There's a standard of holiness. There's a standard of righteousness. There's this imago Dei inside of us that God has placed on us as a standard. And he says, listen, you're not an animal, right? Stop expecting everybody to take care of you. Stop expecting everybody to take care of you. You're not a dog. You're not a cat. We shouldn't have to be feeding you all the time. There comes a time where you got to learn how to feed yourself. There comes a time where you got to learn how to provide for yourself. That's the imago Dei. That's the standard inside of us. God has called you to be uniquely divine. We have been created with God's DNA that gives us this elevated dignity that we are to live up to. We're created with God's DNA. And the New Testament further reinforces this. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, it says, put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. 2 Peter gives this astounding revelation in chapter 1, verse 4. He teaches that we are partakers of the divine nature. We are partakers of the divine nature. Now, don't get it twisted. You are not God. You are not God, but you have God's DNA inside of you, and it's time to start living up to what God has placed inside of us. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? This imago Dei, this divine uniqueness. But what else does the imago Dei imply? It also empowers us with rationale. It empowered us with rationale. Everybody say rationale. Rationale is very important. I want you to get this. Rationale means it includes intelligence. It includes the ability to think properly. It includes the ability to plan and to execute plans. Rationale includes the ability to reason, right? When you study the creation in Genesis 1 and 2, you see God displaying rationale. He's creating, he's reasoning, he's executing plans, right? We get this gift of rationale. It comes with the package of the imago Dei, but we get it from God himself. We get it from God, the ability to reason. We're the only ones that have the ability to have deep reasoning. And we're the only ones that have the ability to be able to think properly, to be able to strategically do things and to create and to plan. We're the only ones that could do that on the deepest level. It comes with the imago Dei. It's rationale, and this is one of the main reasons why the devil hates us so much. Did you know that the imago Dei, the image of God that is inside of you, is one of the main reasons why the devil hates you so much? You know why? Because he wanted to be like God. In Isaiah 14:14, it talks about Lucifer, who was Satan before he got kicked out of heaven. It says that he said, I want to be like the Most High God. No doubt when God was creating mankind and he was placing the Imago Dei inside a man's heart, the devil was looking around a tree with hate in his eyes. He says, I wanted to be like that. I wanted that. Rationale, the ability to think properly, the ability to plan and to execute, the ability to have intelligence. Have you ever wondered why the devil attacks us with drugs and alcohol so much? Have you ever wondered why alcoholism and drug abuse is an epidemic in our society? Think about it. Think about it. Why is drugs an epidemic in our society? Let me submit something to you. I submit something to you. The reason why it is because it is a direct assault on the Imago Dei inside of us. Drugs and alcoholism is a direct assault on the Imago Dei inside of us. When you get drunk or you get high, the first thing that leaves you is reason. Can anybody attest to that? You start to get drunk, what's the first thing that happens? You start to tilt. You get drunk, the first thing that goes, you start to slur. You get drunk, some of y'all start talking crazy. When you get drunk or high, the first thing that goes is reason. You never see a rational drunk. No such thing as a rational drunk. Why is that? Because it's the enemy attacking the Imago Dei inside of you. In fact, he's tricking you to self-inflict yourself. I was in prison when the methamphetamines epidemic hit society. I missed it, thank God. Missed it. But I was around when PCP came out, a.k.a. Sherm. A.K.A. Angel Dust. I was a little kid when that came out. And people used to smoke Sherm. I shouldn't say this. My mom's probably watching. But people used to smoke Sherm in my backyard. And one of the things I noticed about all of them is that they would act dumb. They would act dumb. Everybody who got high with PCP would act dumb. In fact, I would overhear them. Whenever they would go to try to smoke it, they would say, hey, let's get dinged up. Hello, somebody? Dinged up? Dingy? Dingy? First thing that goes is your rationale. Ability to think. I've seen people barking like dogs on PCP. I've seen it in the bar. I'd admit to you, I was a little kid, okay? I used to like it because it was the only time I could get money from them. They would give me money, be nice and everything. Buy me candy. But I miss the methamphetamines epidemic. But since I've been out of prison for 10 years, I've seen a lot of people that were addicted on meth or still are on meth. I've seen in the last 10 years a lot of people. And one of the commonalities of someone who has been addicted on meth, I don't know if you picked this up yet, is that they have lost their ability to think right. Have you noticed that? Many people, in fact, let me just say this. If you've smoked meth for an extended period of time and you still have 80% of your thought life, you better thank God. You better praise God, because it is a direct assault on your ability to think, and it is of the enemy trying to attack the Imago Dei that you were created with, because he hated on you before you were even born. Does this make sense to anybody? And so we gotta protect what God has placed inside of us. So we're created in this image of God, but we're also created to be great. Created to be great. Back to chapter 1, verse 26, it says, let them have dominion. Everybody say dominion. The word dominion, it means royal rule. It means royal authority. You were created with royal rule. You were created with royalty. Touch your neighbor and say, you're looking at royalty. Yeah, you don't need to look on the internet at a wedding 1,000 miles away to look at royalty. All you got to do is look in the mirror if you're a child of God. If you're a child of God. You were created to be great. Men, you were created to be great. The problem is the enemy has stolen our greatness. And he's even convinced us that it's unspiritual to be great. You know how I know? You know how I know? When I first said right now, 2 minutes ago, that you were created to be great, ain't nobody jumped up and said, yeah, praise God. There was no amens in the house. You know why? Because we've been deceived to the degree that we even think it's unspiritual to say we're great. Ooh, man, some of y'all get that later. We've been deceived. We've been robbed of our greatness in so much that we think it is unspiritual to be great. Ain't nobody said amen when I said you were created to be great. Look at the video. Check it out on Facebook later on. When God created you, he created you with royalty. He created you with dominion. He created you to rule. In that ruling is greatness. The problem is that we have accepted the counterfeit greatness of the world. That's the problem. Remember, the devil cannot create. He does not create, but he counterfeits. And he presents to us this false image of greatness that is shrouded in sex, money, and power. And many of us men have fallen for it, and it killed us, and it imprisoned us. And some of us got high off our own supply because we fell for this counterfeit greatness. We fell for the lights and the smoke of the world. And all in all, did you know? I want you to know. All in all, God gave you your own greatness. You ain't got to search nowhere for no greatness. It's inside of you. It's innately inside of you through the creation of God. And listen, if you don't know you're created with greatness, you'll try to piggyback off someone else's greatness. This is the reason why many men wear a jersey with somebody else's name on it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, let's talk like family. Let's talk like family. You ain't afraid of, you ain't got an issue with somebody else's greatness. But when we go to talk about your greatness, it's quiet. It's crickets up in here. You go talk about LeBron James and Kobe Bryant and everybody else, everybody get loud. When you don't know that God has created you with your own greatness, you will try to piggyback off somebody else's greatness. And I ain't going to lie, when I put on a Kobe Bryant jersey, and I feel a certain way. When I step on the court, I start to dribble a certain way. I start to shoot a certain way. The spirit of the Mamba comes all over me. But I have learned that I don't have to piggyback on someone else's greatness. God has created me to be great. He's given me my own greatness, and it's in the kingdom of God. It's in the kingdom of God. It's in the kingdom of God. My greatness is connected to the King. My greatness is connected to the King. Men, your greatness is connected to the King. And the more you surrender your will to the King, the more he elevates you in greatness. The more he blankets you with greatness. Your greatness is connected to the kingdom. Your greatness is connected to the kingdom. When the disciples' mothers came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want my two sons to be great in your kingdom, he didn't rebuke them for wanting to be great. He says, if you want to be great, you got to be a servant. He gave them the pathway of greatness. He didn't say it was a wrong thing to be great. No, he gave him the pathway of greatness and says, listen, in the kingdom of God, greatness comes through humility. It comes through conviction. It comes through being a truth teller. It comes through being a love, you know, walking in love and kindness and maturity and meekness. You want to be great, you get connected to the kingdom. That's the reason why a lot of people, men, don't come to church, is because we fell for the lie that we have to give up our desire for greatness. And we have sissified Christianity. And that don't feel right. That don't feel right. And so we come this morning to let you know that God has given you permission to be great. God is not intimidated with your greatness. He's not intimidated. In Genesis, he told Abraham, he said, I'm going to make your name great. God is not intimidated by your greatness. He's not trying to hold you back. He's not trying to trip you up. He told David, he said, now I will make your name great like the names of the greatest men on earth. He's not intimidated by your greatness because he gave it to you. He gave it to you. The problem is we have fallen for the counterfeit greatness of the world and the light and the smoke. I shared this story before, but I want to share it again because it illustrates how we fall for the smoke and the light of the world. And God wants to awaken somebody today. He wants to awaken somebody today. But I shared this illustration before. I'm going to share it again. About 6 months after my release from prison, I started purchasing my own clothes. My own clothes. Prior to that, my wife would buy my own clothes. But I started getting my own money. And it feels good when you get your own money, right? Feels good when you get your own paycheck, right? And I would go to the mall, and I'd walk through the mall, and I'd look at the clothes that are in behind the glass. And I would see a suit, and it would look nice. It would look shiny. I was like, man, I want that. And I'll go into the store. I'll pull out my money, and I'll buy the suit, or I'll buy the jacket, and I'll take the jacket home. I'll put on the jacket. And have you ever learned that how the clothes look on in behind the glass and how they look on you when you take it home are different? Have you ever learned that by now? How it looks behind the glass, and then when you buy it and you take it home, it don't look, because I put it on, I'm like, man, this did not look like how I saw it. It did not look how I saw it. And so I'll forget about it, right? And a month or two later, I'm walking through the mall, and I see a nice jacket behind the glass. I said, man, that looked good. That would look good on me. I go, I spend it, I buy my money, and put it in a bag, and I take it home, and the same thing. Like, this did not look like how I saw it. Did not look how I saw it. And so I'll forget about it, and I'll go to the mall maybe 6 months later. And one time I was looking through the glass, and I seen this jacket that struck my interest. I said, man, that thing looked good, and I want to go buy it. But then I said, you know what? I'm not going to fall for the okey-doke again. So I go and do my investigation. I go into the store, and I go behind the glass. And I look up, and I notice that there are thousands of dollars worth of light that are shining down on that suit at the right angle. Have you ever noticed that? It's like a club up in there. And they're shining out, and they just bring out that suit to this, like, looking nice. And then I get a little closer, and I don't know if you notice this, I go, and there's like 100 pins that are stapled the shirt to the mannequin, which makes the jacket look tight. Hello, somebody. I'm putting you up on game on how to shop here. Somebody got to thank me later. They're like 100 pins. I am not going to be walking around with no 100 pins on me, right? And then on top of all that, have you ever noticed that they use buff mannequins? They use buff. I'm like, man, this brother's buff right here. That ain't not gonna, it's not gonna translate over here. But how many times men have we fallen for counterfeit greatness because of the lights and the smoke and the needles and the pins? And we take it home. We take it home and it kills us. Robs us. The devil has stolen kingdom greatness from us. And God is telling you it's time to get it back. It's time to get it back. He's given you permission to be great. But your greatness is connected to the kingdom. It's connected to the kingdom. It's connected to the rule of the king. Outside of the king, outside of the rule, the devil's gonna take that greatness from you. And the more you live out your divine design, the more God blankets you with the greatness of the kingdom. Stay connected to the kingdom and the rule of the king. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Just for a couple moments, I want us to think about the word of God this morning. How did the Lord speak to you? What was it that the Lord was trying to get across to you this morning? Let's remain in an atmosphere of reflection, because we believe that the Lord has spoken to somebody, and we want you to think about how the Lord spoke to you and how will you respond to the word of the Lord. Let's bow our heads in reflection. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe there's someone here that needs or recognizes you need to surrender to King Jesus. Maybe you recognize that you have drifted away from the kingdom and the king, and God has given you another chance so that you can live out your divine design. If there's anybody here who needs to surrender to the Lord Jesus for the first time, or rededicate your life to the Lord, I want to pray with you. I want you to think about, is that you? God brought you here for a reason. He allowed you to come for a reason. Is that you?